Well, good evening, everybody. It's Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten. We are live at the Antlers, Matt Pocket Engineering down here, Cade DeGarmo doing likewise back at the radio station. Lakers coming off a great weekend up in Alaska, and we talked about it last week at length, and needed the wins, needed the 6 points, got them all. Lakers fourth place right now in the WCHA as we almost head into the holiday break. Everybody else gets a chance to move up on the Lakers, though, this weekend. The Lakers and the Nanooks have each played two more games than everybody else, and the rest of them will catch up this weekend. All eight teams are in action. The Lakers and the Nanooks are off this weekend, except the Lakers do play an exhibition game down in Plymouth, Michigan. We'll talk about that here during the show tonight. But, Damon, just a really big weekend. When you got to have points, there's nothing like having a great performance. And, you know, we talked last week about we got to get Braden Gelsinger and Max Humitz going. Well, they got going, especially Gelsinger. 3 goals, natural hat trick on Saturday night. Co-offensive player of the week in the WCHA.
Yeah, no question. It, you know, we'll talk, I'm sure, plenty about Braden coming up. But, you know, a strong weekend and a real good performance. I mean, I think, you know, we talked about it Friday, Mankato, the energy and the execution and this time of the school year, guys getting a little bit bogged down mentally and then physically as well. It's been a long semester. And so I think really concerned. We tried to really go short last week practice and then keep the energy up and the spirits up and, you know, have some legs for the long trip. And so, you know, hopefully that played a little piece of it and what it was, you know, and then getting up there and playing that. Like, you don't know what you're going to get. So I thought we played really well. Friday we went down 1-0, and it seems like we haven't scored first in a long time. And fortunately we changed it around Saturday, but had to chase the game there for a little bit, but had a good answer back in the first period. Diego Cuglietta, you know, 2 goals in that first period was you know, continues to play at a really high level and does a great job for us. And then, you know, from that point on, even though, you know, early on, actually, we had a breakaway the opening shift, and Max Humitz kind of walked in all alone and had some good chances there. So it was a really solid 60 minutes of play. You know, thought we deserved that win. Special teams was obviously huge on the weekend, both shorthanded goals, power play goals. I think the one thing maybe you don't like about that is we'd like to do a little bit more 5-on-5. You know, it was huge to get those special teams. And then Saturday, we go up 2-0 early on. We're feeling pretty good about it. They answer back with a power play goal of their own. And then one really a real strange goal, just kind of a one-timer from the point shot that was a real knuckleball. And I'm not sure if Nick never saw it or just it was like I said, a knuckleball. It dropped so much and it kind of fooled Nick. And all of a sudden it's 2-2 and you're you know, you're questioning things there a little bit. Gave them some life and energy in between periods. But we came back out with a great answer, you know, really had, I thought, 120 minutes of really strong hockey, really committed hockey, didn't give them much up. So really liked our attention to detail defensively as a group. You know, our D-Corps played well. Our forwards did a tremendous job of their back-checking or tracking habits, as we call them. Won a lot of 50-50 pucks, won the majority of the foot races. And then Braden Gelsinger was dynamite. One thing that doesn't show up about Braden Gelsinger's performance, you know, as good as that was offensively and being not only the WCHA co-player of the week, I think NCAA second star of the week, which is a great honor. But late in that game Saturday night, Gelsinger had 3 points at that point. We were killing a penalty. Game was, you know, pretty much out of hand. There wasn't much time left, and he just sacrificed, laid out in front of a puck. Made a huge block shot, kind of went down for a little bit, got hit down low, and just that was kind of our team this weekend. You know, everything was on the line. Guys sacrificed. Everybody was committed, you know, doing whatever they could for a win. And I thought, as good as Braden was offensively, and as good as we were as a team offensively, for him to make that play late in the game to eat a puck and just fight and compete and then got the hat trick a little bit later was just a real kind of emphasis of how we won and how committed we were to playing the right way all weekend long.
Yeah, Lakers get a 4-1 win on Friday night, 5-2 on Saturday night. We got outshot on Saturday night, but made the most of the power play, 4-for-6 with the odd man. Scored a shorthanded goal and a power play goal on Friday night, and Diego got another shorty, so he's off. He's just doing a tremendous job this year. He's got 9 goals now. He's second on the team in scoring. And first on scoring is Anthony Nellis, right up there with 10 goals right now, 18 points. What a senior season he's having. And then Gelsinger comes through with a 5-point weekend, co-offensive player of the week in the league, second star in the WCHA for the week, and or in college hockey,
NCAA,
the NCAA
yeah.
for the
Big
week.
Honor,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, the thing about Braden is, last Monday, he thought he wasn't going to be able to play. He thought he was done for a month because I was talking to him in the dressing room last Monday. He wasn't practicing, and he said, well, I guess this is the right time to get hurt if you're going to get hurt, because we won't play some exhibition and we play a couple of games in the GLI that don't count in the standings. But he found out about Wednesday that, well, in fact, it was Tuesday.
It must have been
he found
Tuesday.
Out he could go.
But we had canceled his flight. You know, we did a name change. And, you know, so we were planning on not having Braden. And on the Olympic sheet, you're saying, hey, we're going to miss his skating and his speed. Mm-hmm. And it's a funny game sometimes, you know, when you're not 100%, you kind of forget about some things and you just go play. You kind of get back to the basics and, you know, the stress is off and you're kind of playing through an injury, and seems like that happens more than you would think. So Braden did a tremendous job. Obviously we're glad he was able to make the trip and, you know, get Max going a little bit. Braden going a little bit is huge to our depth up front. Still got some good contributions from the back end. Colin Sockerman offensively, once again, another great weekend. And again, I thought as a unit, our D-core, our team defense was really good. Nick Kossoff on Saturday night, you know, I think their shots were a little bit not correct. It seemed like watching it back, we're out shooting them and then they're going up. So it was a little bit off, but Nick in the third period had to make two or three, you know, really timely saves and keep that two goal cushion. So I thought Nick was just rock solid all weekend long. I think he had 1.5 and a 93 or 96 something save percentage. So he was really good. You know, Gage Terrell, our last senior that we haven't really mentioned, again, same thing, power play, penalty kill. Just been, you know, we showed clips Saturday morning. There was nothing structurally we showed Saturday morning. It was all about effort type situations, 50-50 pucks, foot races, and Gage Terrell had to be in about three or four of those. So I thought he was really, you know, just tremendous at setting the example of the way we need to play consistently, and did a really, really good job. You know, maybe not rewarded the way some other guys were with stats and things like that, but seniors continue to set a high bar, and now the juniors are going, the D are going, and just a real strong performance.
Yeah, it was really good to have Max Humitz and the Gelsinger break out of that slump they were in. They hadn't scored in nine games, each of them, and they wound up both scoring and picking up points and really helping this team out. We need that very badly. And one of the things you did there is you kind of switched the lines around a little bit. You moved Braden to playing with a different centerman. You put him with Ambrosio, and you moved Gelsinger up to playing with Diego, where he was really doing well early in the year. So that paid off.
Yeah, no, just shoveling some things around there, as you kind of talked about. You know, it just seems like I think Braden and Max were both playing well, but for some reason the points had dried up a little bit. And, you know, we're trying to still continue to be fairly balanced up front with our experience and our talent spread out and able to play, you know, four deep talented lines. And so we wanted to be a little bit careful where we went, but really liked the chemistry and combinations. Early on when Braden was on fire, it was kind of him, Diego, and Max. And, you know, we knew there was some chemistry between those guys. So, yeah, you know, liked our balance on this weekend. Again, 5-on-5, I thought we could have finished a little bit better, you know, and would have liked to score a little bit more. But, you know, you kind of got that cushion and things are going and clicking on the power play. And, you know, but that was really the one area that I thought 5-on-5, we had some great stretches and thought we dominated quite honestly at times, but maybe didn't show up on the score sheet as much as we'd like.
A hat trick, too, and a natural hat trick at that. He scored the game-winning goal, then the other two goals in a 5-2 win. One was an empty net goal to end the game. But just a tremendous performance by Braden Gelsinger, the junior. The last time the Lakers had a hat trick, JT Hinkie got it. That was in October of 2015 in a 5-4 loss at home against Alabama Huntsville. And before that, it was Kyle Jean back in 2011. And Mark Vasey did a great job. He went back and researched all the games all the way back to tell me who scored the last hat trick for Lake Superior State. Your new SID is doing a very good job at Lake Superior State.
Yeah, he does a tremendous job. He's you know, he's got a hockey background, spent time over at Minnesota State, and you know, has a real passion for it. And so he's come in, you know, a little bit late, joined us, but jumped right in and doing a really good job. So, yeah, we appreciate Mark digging up those stats. And he's got one more, Nathan Perkovich, back in 2007. So it hasn't happened enough. And, you know, hopefully this will spark the next guy. You know, Diego's been close a couple nights, and Max early on, and, you know, Gage had a couple there as well. So it'd be nice to get a couple more guys. Anthony Nellis is, you know, very capable as well. So real good accolades for Braden, well-deserved. And, again, you know, beyond those points and those goals and assists, it was the way he played on the penalty kill and all situations was really good. So a real good team effort.
Well, I think too, the guys at this point on this team, we've got a lot of plus players, and it's been a long time since we've had a lot of guys who are high up in plus minus. And I know sometimes that doesn't mean so much, but I think it does this year. You got Anthony Nellis is a very high plus player right now with 10 goals and 18 points. Kuglietta's got 15 points. Gelsinger 13. Sackleman 12. How about Sackleman? 7 goals right now and 12 assists, or and 5 assists for 12 points. And then Gage Sherrill with 2 goals and 10 assists for 12 points. Nordquist has 12 points, 2 goals, 10 assists. A great defenseman for a freshman. And Lucas Kiebel, he had 3 assists on the weekend, and he's got a goal and 11 assists. Now he has 12 points.
Yeah, he's kind of quietly doing it. He's been a little bit lost. You don't hear much about Lucas with what Colin's been doing and what Jacob's been doing. And he just kind of quietly and consistently shows up and you know, does his thing and is racking up these assists, and he's been very good in the power play. We adjusted power play groups as well, and what did we end up with? I think 5 power play goals on the weekend, and we started off Saturday 4 for 4. Kind of disappointed when you go 4 for 5 all of a sudden, and then you know, we didn't score in our last 2 power plays in the end, 4 for 6. But I think like 55% on the night, and just really good special teams, 2 shorthanded goals. So I thought our guys did a good job. They went, I think, 1 for 10 on their power play. So special teams was a big factor. It always is, and when you can be that dominant on it, you're going to be very successful. So a real credit to our guys killing and our guys doing the power play. Braden and Max in particular just had real good chemistry, and they've been on the power play units together, but again, we had some different looks. We'll Ride Dallas up on that look with or on that group with Lucas Kiebel still, and then Hampus Erickson or Gage Terrell kind of rotating that front as well. And you know, the Olympic sheet you know, gives you a different look on the power play. And again, I real credit to our players to go in and adjust. And we never practiced on it, just showed up Thursday, got a little bit of a skate on it, and I thought our guys handled it really well. And that's going to be important because we're going to go to Anchorage, we're going to go to Northern, and you know, we've got some big sheet games left here. So it was nice to have success and feel confident about that moving forward.
Yeah, you pointed it out, but Nick Kossoff had quite a weekend too. 50 saves out of 53 shots on him to get 2 wins on the weekend. He played both games. That's the second time you've used him in both games in a weekend in the last 4 weeks. And just a good performance there. He had a 1.50 goals against average, a save percentage of .943. And overall right now, he's at 2.19 goals against and 91.5 the save percentage. So he's done a great job. And Merrick Smittens is right there too, 2.70 goals against and a 90 save percentage. So our goaltending's been good. The defense has been very solid. You did a great job up there to stop a team that had taken 5 out of 6 points from you earlier in the season here and get 6 points. And the Lakers are in fourth place right now going into this weekend in the WCHA. We're going to take our first break on the night. We'll be back with more from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All righty, we are back for the second segment of our Laker hockey show tonight, live from the Antlers. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten. We do not have a player joining us tonight, and there's a good reason for that. Our players are a little more concerned about classroom stuff this week than they normally are. It is finals week at Lake Superior State, and I think that kind of had a little something to do with your practice schedule this week as well.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I felt bad. I don't even know what time it was, but at some point I was up on one of the flights, and I walked back, and there's about 9 guys all sleeping. They probably should have their books out studying, but they, you know, it's a tough trip. You leave town. I think our flight was 1 a.m. Saturday night, Sunday morning. And so, you know, red eye flight out, and it's a long day. And, you know, the guys physically are pretty exhausted at this point. I was actually kind of, you know, looking back at the November, and, you know, for us to finish up there on a long road trip and against a team that had success against us down here. But, you know, we brought in Michigan, who I think was, what, 10-12 in the country. When they came up, went down to Bowling Green, and they are around 10-12 in the country. Had Mankato, the number 3 team in the country up here. It was a really grueling month of November. You know, really, really tough teams. And, you know, we came through decently. Would have liked to have been a little bit better. I thought the Saturday nights against Mankato Northern, there were games that we had a lot of chances to win. And, you know, did some really good things. Certainly that Alaska weekend at home is an opportunity that we probably let get away the late lead there on Saturday as well. So some missed opportunities as well, but a really grueling schedule against some great competition, and it's been an exciting first half. And you know, we've got this last game left to finish strong with, and you know, get a win Sunday, and feel pretty good about what we've accomplished, with knowing there's a lot more ahead of us the second half.
Yeah, you're going to go up in an exhibition game down in Plymouth, Michigan, coming up this Sunday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll be broadcasting that game. You can hear it on Yes FM, where you can hear all the Laker hockey games. And even though it's an exhibition, I think it's going to be a really good game. This is a team, this under-18s team from the National Development Program, that they're 5-4 right now against Division I competition, and they've beaten the likes of Michigan and Harvard and Notre Dame. Yeah. They've got wins against some really good teams, and yet they lost a game to Ferris State and a couple of teams they probably should have beaten, but that's young kids.
Yeah,
you never know what they're going
to
do.
They just beat Maine this weekend there in Plymouth as well, so you know, starting to get through some of that film a little bit, but you know, ton of talent, and you know, it's a good opportunity. We've never taken a team down there. I haven't been part of that, you know, and it's a little bit newer where they're hosting teams in their venues now. Typically they've traveled around, but there's a lot of teams playing them there, and Scott Monahan's done a great job of kind of building their you know, game night experience, and you know, that opportunity for the players in that program, and obviously a lot of eyes on that game in terms of NHL personnel. And so I think, you know, we want to make sure that we're using it as a showcase for certainly our seniors, but throughout our entire lineup. That'll be a really critical weekend for those guys as they're looking to graduate and move on to the pro ranks as well. So you know, we want to have a good approach. You mentioned the finals week. You know, the guys are taking some time away right now and prepping for classes, certainly recovering from the trip to Alaska as well, but we'll get back at it sooner or later here, and you know, start focusing a little bit more on the national program and what they throw at you in terms of talent, speed, things like that.
Well, they've got a lot of really good players, and we've known over the years that there are very many NHLers in that lineup, and they're future NHLers. They're going to go play Division I, a lot of them. Before they do that, they've got a couple of kids who have ties to Lake Superior State there. You got Ryder Ralston, Brian's son, who's now old enough to be playing for the under-18s. And Danny Waite, Doug Waite's son, is playing for this team. They're certainly worth watching. Danny Waite's headed for BU next year, and Ryder's going to go play for Jeff Jackson at Notre Dame. So the high-profile teams are, as usual, picking up these high-profile players. But they're a darn good team, and they're going to be all we want. They're going to play at Michigan State on Saturday night, and then they're going to come back and play us at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But you just made a really good point there, too. The Four Nations tournament's going on this weekend in Plymouth. That means their under-17s are going to be playing against the best players at their age group in the world, and that's going to bring a lot of NHL people into that building this weekend to watch these young kids play. What an opportunity for our fans, too. There is a special ticket package for us. $8 will get you into the game to watch the Lakers play on Sunday afternoon, but you can go to that Four Nations tournament too and see some
great
really
hockey.
Good players.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. Like you said, the best in the world, you know, assembled down there for that weekend. It's gonna be a busy weekend down there. You know, we'll catch a little bit of that action as well and get some other recruiting in down around the Detroit area as we're down there. But yeah, it's fun hockey. I mean, the skill, the pace that Four Nations tournament brings in is tremendous. And anybody that is going down, you'd be remiss if you don't get a chance to watch some of that action. And like you said, some of the biggest names in the world will be on that stage, and it'll be an enjoyable atmosphere down there for sure.
Yeah, they do have that special rate, $8 a ticket for Laker fans. If you're interested in that, you go to usahockeyntdp.com/tickets, and they got a promo code there, Lakers, and you can pick up $8 tickets to watch the Lakers play against the under-18s. And they're a very good team. And then coming up in a couple of weeks' time, right after Christmas, Damon, we're going to go play in the Great Lakes Invitational Tournament. First time we've been in that tournament in a long while. It'll be our fourth time ever playing in it. But it's been a while since we've had this opportunity, and that's a great holiday tournament right there.
Well, one of the best. I mean, it is great everywhere you go. It's certainly, you know, for a lot of us growing up in Michigan, whether it's our students, fans, you know, myself growing up down there, that was a tournament I made almost every year as a young kid, you know, going into that building and into the old Joe Louis Arena now. You know, going in and watching the NCAA games, the bands, the fans, the jerseys, you know, remember the years the Lakers were in it, you know, very well. So it's a great environment. We're excited to be part of it. You know, just powerhouse programs and tradition rich programs. It's going to be an awesome atmosphere and environment. You know, we had the chance to play in the Pittsburgh, the Penguins Arena last year, and, you know, we've been through a couple of these NHL venues, and it'll just be a great weekend of hockey. And looking forward to that matchup with Michigan State, and then hopefully getting that championship game. And I keep getting the dates wrong, and the it's going to be strange with the Sunday Monday, I think it is, and the early start times and the Red Wings nightcap there. But what a weekend of hockey with the GLI, then the Red Wings finishing up New Year's Eve there with a game as well. It's going to be a hockey lover's dream, because you can get your fix there all day long, and we can't wait to be part of it.
Yeah, on the Sunday, the 30th of December, the Lakers will be playing the 4 o'clock game against Michigan State. That'll be televised on Fox Sports Detroit, by the way. Michigan Tech will play Michigan at 1 p.m. that day, and then the losers will play in a non-televised consolation game at 11 o'clock in the morning on Monday the 31st, and the winners will play for the GLI title at 2 p.m. on Monday, and then they'll have the Red Wings playing the annual New Year's Eve game later that night. And right, I think there's a ticket package for like $60. You get all the games, the four GLI games and the Red Wing game.
Yeah, an unbelievable package. And I know I saw the email on that. And, you can get to our website or contact our ticket office for that as well, or go to GLI. But, I'm not sure what a hockey lover can think of more than around the holidays and, being down, catching all that action. I know for me and my family playing in that tournament and growing up, it was a lot of memories, going to those games with my family and, having teammates running around that building and cheering for the teams and, watching these guys go from the NCAA to pro hockey. And we're looking forward to it. Obviously for our Michigan natives, it probably takes on a little bit more significance, but believe me, our guys, understand the importance of this tournament, and we'll be putting a lot of preparation in to be ready to go down and compete for a championship.
We're about halfway through our show tonight, fastest hour on radio, as we like to say, and we're going to take a break in a moment, but first of all, we'll tell you the players of the week. We mentioned already Braden Gelsinger is a co-player of the week as a forward. Charlie Combs from Bemidji State had a pretty good weekend too. He scored a hat trick and had a 5-point weekend, same as Braden did. The big thing for me, though, is Braden won two games where Charlie Combs had a split, but they are still co-players of the week. And defensive player of the week, Ian Scheid, outstanding defenseman from Minnesota State. The junior had 3 assists, was a +6 rating. I thought Colin Sackelman had just as good a weekend. He had a goal and 2 assists for 3 points as well, 3 block shots, a +2 rating. And that's Colin's third honorable mention so far this season as a defenseman of the week in the WCHA. The goalie of the week, Ate Tolvanen from Northern Michigan. He got a split, but he made 36 saves in that game on Saturday night, a 3-1 loss at Michigan Tech. He also scored a goal in the game on Friday night, shooting the puck into an empty net in the final moments to give his team, Northern Michigan, a 5-3 win over Michigan Tech. Nick Kossoff was honorable mention there and had quite a weekend, 50 saves, as we said, 1.50 goals against, 9.43 save percentage. Another great weekend, and Nick, a very worthy honorable mention this week for goaltender of the week. And the rookie of the week was Trenton Bliss from Michigan Tech. The forward had 2 goals, 3 points as a freshman. He had power play goals in each game, a loss on Friday and a win on Saturday. We'll take a break. We'll be right back to the Antlers on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Okay, we are back at the Antlers. Nice crowd on hand again this week at the Antlers. We always appreciate the fans coming out, and they've got some questions tonight for Coach Witten. I'm hoping that some of these are really tough questions, but they look pretty normal. We always have a question about recruiting, and Damon, you just mentioned a few moments ago that when you're in Detroit, in the Plymouth area, you'll get a chance maybe to, I don't know, maybe you won't go out to see somebody, maybe Zach Sizek will or Mike York, but you're going to be down there. It'll be a great opportunity. There's always a lot of hockey going on in suburban Detroit. What is the recruiting situation at this point? I haven't seen a word on an NLI being signed as yet.
Well, a lot of it was done in the past, so I mean, I guess we've been, delayed on doing that, but there's not a lot of updates because it's always the same. It's, you're always looking. I will get a chance to get out and cover some decent ground this upcoming weekend with us being down there and kind of the plans we have to approach the weekend there. Zach was out this past weekend as well and got some valuable work done as well. So it just, like I said, it's always ongoing there, and we don't have a anticipate a lot with the four-man senior class, but again, trying to be prepared from that end of as well. So, no, out evaluating, you know, certainly looking at some younger kids, the way today's world work, it's mostly done in that advanced age. And, you know, some of our young guys that, you know, we can't talk about that, there's been good reports back, and we'd like to try to get some eyes on them and just make sure we're staying connected with those guys and keeping them under our wings there a little bit. But, no, it's ongoing, and then you move, and, you know, it's really a daily thing, whether you're talking to coaches or advisors and watching video. Today's world, it's kind of nice. There's so much you can do there. I mean, it always is best to get in the rink and see them with your own eyes. But we have Wes DeYoung in the office cutting up a lot of film. And a lot of times it's our own guys just, you know, hey, grab us a couple periods. Let's kind of see where he's at, how he's playing. And then certainly as new guys come across your board, you know, you might start on video, then get out to see him play.
Yeah, we've got a lot of kids who have already signed national letters of intent who are still playing junior. That's what Damon's referring to, and we do keep an eye on them. And we don't have any new NLI signed as yet, but recruiting is going on, and there's a new rule on that now too, isn't there? You can sign. It's not a period where you have
right.
to sign the NLI.
It stays open.
You can
now.
Sign it all the way through till next April.
Yes, yeah. So it stays open now. In the past, you had that weak window or that short window to sign everybody, and that was the end of it. And they've gone away with that. So once it opens, and now it stays open, like you said, to the spring. So that does change things. So, you know, if we do find somebody, and again, today's world, there's not a whole lot of guys that are 19, 20 still available. But as those change, or, you know, get dropped from somebody else, or decide to make a switch, then you can sign them right away and, you know, make that announcement, things like that. So that does change it quite a bit, which I think everybody likes.
I think it's one of the things Mike Hastings does well. Doesn't he take older players, guys who've been around a bit? He'll take a 20-year-old freshman and a kid who's really going to be and turn him into a heck of a hockey player.
I don't think they take him as 20-year-olds a whole lot. They usually have him as an 18, 19-year-old, but they do, you know, find a way to delay that enrollment till they are,
yeah.
You know, we talk about being
That's what
over
I mean.
Ready, but yeah, no, exactly. So they do find a way. And again, part of that's year to year, you know, hopefully when you're around a while. And I think part of that, you know, is Brickley comes back, you know, he doesn't leave early as a sophomore, freshman. And I think that's always, you know, probably preferred in a lot of ways is to get them over ready. You know, some guys are ready at 18 and then some 19, but a lot 20. So for us, that's the main point of conversation is when you're over ready, you know, you'll come in. And we've had both sides of that. We've had some younger guys come in like Luke Morgan and Owen, and you know, certainly guys as 20-year-olds as well, which is a little bit more custom.
Well, we've got the usual weekly question on injuries too, and you know, as long as the injuries are like the one to Braden Gelsinger, I think that's
take those ones.
Those are helpful injuries right there.
Yeah, that was again the best doctor appointment that I've ever had when I saw our athletic trainer Natalie Reynolds. I knew she was calling from the doctor's office. I'm like, you know, this is not good at all, and it turned out to be tremendous news. So that was good, but no, I think we're. Again, we haven't met as a group yet this week, so we haven't had an update, but I think we should be fully healthy, you know, for the first time in a while, and everybody ready to play. Again, we've got to make some decisions on how the approach is for this national. It is an exhibition game, so we anticipate dressing extra bodies. But again, we also want to make sure that we're showcasing some guys in front of the personnel who will be there to help them in their quest to sign at a high level of hockey. So, you know, we'll make some decisions on that, but we'll dress some extra bodies for sure.
Yeah, there's a question here from one of the fans, too, about for the most part, your scoring this past weekend and in a lot of weekends has come out of two lines. You've got Cuglietta with Humitz and Calder on the wings, and then you got Ambrosio with Gelsinger and Terrell, and they did most of the scoring other than Anthony Nellis, who plays with Erickson and Violette. And are you planning on kind of keeping these lines together? Do you like how they look, or will that depend on who you're going to play against?
Well, you know, you win two games in a pretty solid fashion. Again, we didn't give much up. So defensively, we liked the way we could match up on the road. Again, you don't control a lot of that. So, you know, when you're going in a GLI, you know, we will not be, I think we're the visiting team for both games, or all games that'll happen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The way our record's been, you know, it's not a bad thing maybe. But, you know, so you want to have trust, you want to have balance. And, you know, the way you mentioned it, again, you read them out. We actually have three pretty balanced scoring lines with Nellis, and, you know, Pete Viet's been out a while, so his point total is not as high as some guys. But, you know, for those watched it, he was really, really good this weekend and did a good job. We had him up top on one of the power plays, running a power play as well. And so I think some points will start to come from Pete, especially playing with those guys. So we have good balance there. We haven't talked about the Basilico McKay Gamlin line. We talked a lot about early on. I think when Ambrosia was sending that line the first couple of weeks, they were really good. And I actually, made a mental note to talk about this, but I think at least two, maybe three power plays were drawn by that line. It's the best they've played since those opening two or three weekends. So I thought both Brian, Austin, and Chase were really good this weekend. They flipped momentum. They played with a lot of pace. Defensively, they are very responsibility. And like I said, they probably were upset they were drawing penalties because that kind of, takes away some of their ice time. But they would go out, have a great shift, draw a penalty. We'd go out, score in the power play, and so they were really a critical part of our wins this weekend. And again, I thought they were as good as they were early on, and to have them going is really important as well. And I think Brian in particular had a couple of good scoring chances, a little bit snake bitten right now. We'd like to get him going and some confidence up, but that line was really impactful on the games this weekend.
Yeah, they're a tough line. They'll play heavy against everybody, and they don't have a lot of points. I think they got 5 points between them, and they're all assists. But Brendan McKay, he adds a toughness to that line, and the other two guys are just the same way. They play hard and they go in corners, and I can see how they could draw penalties.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They were good getting out of our zone, and we call it our slash guy, but Brian Basilico has really kind of grabbed a role to push the pace and to back their defenseman off. And Chase Gamlin's doing a really good job of putting pucks behind the D's heels and getting pucks in deep. And then because of their size and their willingness to compete, they can hang on to pucks and make teams defend, whether you get them on a line change or draw a penalty. They flip momentum quite a bit and did a great job. Like I said, I know two goals I think on Saturday they drew the penalties for. We went out, converted right away, and what a huge momentum swing when you get that out of a fourth line. And we need those guys to play that way at the GLI.
All right, another of the questions from our fans who are with us here at the Antlers tonight. Did you see something on film either before game one or after the first game to really with the penalty kill of Alaska to exploit them, because you exploited them pretty well on Saturday night? Or was that the big ice that did that?
No, I mean, well, hopefully it's us having a little bit part of it. If we're not adjusting and making reads, then shame on us. So no, there's definitely a philosophy behind how we are trying to attack their penalty kill. Now the big ice, I think, dictates the way they kill. It's pretty hard to be, really aggressive on the big sheet. You just get pulled out in so many different areas. So they definitely, being a big ice team, are somewhat of a conservative penalty kill group. And so we had some ideas. We mentioned we changed personnel on one group. Pete Viette was up top running where a defenseman typically would be. Jacob Nordquist moved off to a side, and Nellis went on that group as well. So there was a change in our personnel that left the other group with Lucas Keibel still up top running it. Will Rydell went down to a half wall position where he's never played much. Mm-hmm. Because we had lots of time for him to use his shot, and our first rotation was to get it to Will for a shot. And then because they are a little bit of passive look, we were able to go behind and attack from low because they don't pressure below the goal line. And we had two of our goals on Saturday come behind that. Max Humitz dialing behind the net and making some plays off of that. So no, definitely by design. And again, our players, I thought, did a really good job to go out and execute. And we were limited how much power play time we had to work this week because of the big sheet. So we waited till we got up there to rep some of that out. And it certainly paid off. And again, a real good job by our players to go out and quickly put into place some of the adjustments we made.
Yeah, just thinking too, another real valuable part of the power play when he's out there, I think, is Hampus Eriksson. He has not scored. He's only got one goal right now. He's one of the guys we'd like to see get going, but he gets chances, and it'll happen for him here sooner rather than later, I think. But the thing he provides is that big body, long reach, hangs on to pucks, makes plays, gets the puck to Nellis or whomever else he's out there with, and he's really effective down low on that power play.
Well, and he's a guy I probably should have brought up as well, along with that the McKay line, is I thought he had his best weekend since he got hurt early on. He was playing with more pace. We've been working with him film-wise, showing him some situations where he can do a little bit more to separate himself and create some extra space to make plays or attack the net. So I thought Hampus had his best weekend since he got hurt, and early on he was tremendous when he first got back. back and then suffered that long-term injury there. So he was good, and he did a good job net front as well. He was a big part of the power play success. We kind of parked his big body right in front of the net and told him his job is not to let the goaltender find pucks, and did a really good job of that and allowed some open looks for our guys.
Yeah, he gets beat up pretty good, but he can handle it. He's a big, tough kid, and he's done a really good job for Lake Superior this season. Our last question from the fans here. Well, we've got one more. We'll point out it'll be Mark Vasey's job, not ours, but we'll hit that in a second. What's the plan for the team before you play in the GLI? You got Christmas in there. Are the guys going to go home? Are the foreign players, the international players going to get out of here? What's the situation? And then when do you all come back together to play in the GLI?
Yeah, good questions. Right now, after we play Sunday, guys will that'll start our holiday. Guys will be free to travel from there. There'll be a lot of us coming back on the bus to the Sioux and kind of departing out of here. A lot of our European guys, our Canadians, will fly out from Sioux, Canada, and then start their holiday. I think everybody but Yuki is getting home, and Yuki and Merrick's, I think, are not traveling back to Europe, which is tough to hear. But they'll have plans and some different friends and family in the States that they'll spend time with. Everybody else should get back, and then we're going to plan on meeting up the night of the 26th. So we'll practice December 26th here in town, spend a couple days here getting ready for the GLI. There's concerts at Joe Louis Arena, or I'm sorry, Joe Louis. I'll always call it Joe Little Louis, Caesar. I think, for a long time. Little Caesars Arena. So there's no ice available in the main rink. And so there's no real rush for us to get down there. We'll skate the 29th, I believe it is, at the practice arena or practice sheet, just to get down there and kind of get settled in. But for the most part, we'll be based out of the Sioux here for a couple of days, which makes travel a little bit easier to be in our own confines, our own rink. It'll be a little bit easier that way.
All righty, we're going to take our final break, and Damon and I will be back. We'll talk more Laker hockey on ESPN 1400. All righty, our final segment of the Laker hockey show tonight.
Rowdy crowd out here tonight.
Wonderful to have Roy Forrest in the audience, isn't it? He's such a
They're
leader.
Rowdy. They must have been out at camp this past weekend, got some energy still.
You guys been here since 2 o'clock or what? What's going on here? Anyway, I wanted to hit on some of the things that are we talked earlier in the program tonight about the standings at this point. And, it's kind of strange for us. We haven't paid a whole lot of attention to the standings the past couple of seasons. We didn't like where we were. We like what's going on right now. This team's in a home ice playoff position at this point, and I know there's a lot of hockey to be played yet, but I like the second half of the season, because once you go to Anchorage and you come back from there, you play Huntsville at our place, and I know the home record isn't outstanding right now. We're going to mention that in a second too, but it's home and away the rest of the way, and you finish up with Ferris State on Able Arena ice, and I think the stars are lining up here for if we can continue to play and be really competitive every series. And, you even look at Mankato last weekend at home. There's no way we shouldn't have won or couldn't have won that game on Saturday night for sure.
Well, we hit on it briefly. Like, I think a couple of those Saturdays, again, I think the Fairbanks weekend at our place, that's a missed opportunity. And credit to them. They came in and earned it.
That's right.
I didn't think we were as prepared as we needed to be, and that falls on me. The Mankato Saturday night, I thought the Northern Michigan Saturday night, we were tremendous. Tolman was unbelievable, but I thought that was a game that should have been ours. Was that 1-0? They scored the empty net, or 2-0, 2-1. It's 2-1, and with the empty net goal for them. So we were really good. Mankato Saturday night liked our effort. That's a team. We've got to find a way to beat that team. I think the league at some point is going to go through Mankato, whether it's regular season. Tex had a great start. And I think their schedule changes a little bit, but Mankato, third ranked team in the country for a reason. They've beaten everybody and they're really good. And we've got to go there and find a way to win at least one game on the road. And we're not looking, Bill, you mentioned it, the standings look a little different right now this year, but we're just trying to get better. We've got the national program in front of us this Sunday. We want to find a way to use some of these lessons we've learned early on to be prepared to play, to compete, to win foot races and win battles. And just get better. We have a chance to go into the the break in a pretty good place, and that's great. But you know, we know there's a lot of hockey ahead of us, and we just got to win games and get better. And so I think that's the singular focus right now.
Well, I think a real positive angle too of winning two games up in Alaska. You go up on big ice and you beat a team that took 5 out of 6 from you. You did a great job defensively. That was just rock solid all weekend. The defensive core, the forwards in the checking game, we've talked about that fourth unit and what they meant by drawing penalties from the opposition, but you cashed in on chances, 4 out of 6 on a power play, a shorthanded goal. It's a great weekend, and it gives these guys a lot of confidence, and now they're back, they're through that long trip, and they've got to make one more right after the holidays back up to Anchorage.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's the first half we've been through a lot. You know, we've learned how to win when trailing. We've blown a lead or two as well, and you know, learned from that. You know, some long trips going into Bowling Green into a tough environment against a top 10 team, having Mankato, a top 3 team, Michigan in here. So there's been some really valuable lessons. We've pointed to our senior class a lot. It's not, we talk about our seniors, you know, it's more than just them. We've got great juniors in there like Ruggiero and Humitz and Gelsinger and Brendan McKay. And, you know, our locker room is by far the strongest it's ever been in my time here. And we're getting great leadership and great performances out of a lot of guys. And, you know, that's what it takes. You know, they've really taken ownership of this team, and we've been really impressed with it. So, again, we've got to continue to move forward, continue to improve and get better. But our guys are really responding and understanding the challenges in front of us. So we've liked that a lot. But our seniors have done a good job. Our upperclassmen have done a good job. And we'll continue to rely on those guys as we roll through this.
Yeah, we've talked a lot all year, especially pregame when we're doing our interview before we play a game, about how you got to be ready every night. Every team in this league is good. Last weekend, even, you got Alabama Huntsville. They go into Bemidji State, they win a game. You know, that shocks everybody because they hadn't won many games, but they've been in every game. They haven't been blown out by anybody. I think Lake Superior beat them by 1 goal twice at their place early in the season. They'll be coming in here the second week of January. They are playing at Michigan Tech this weekend. Now, you expect Tech to get 6 points out of that series, but don't bet on it because Huntsville's going to be tough. Ferris State's really struggling right now. They're going to play at Northern Michigan. You got Minnesota State playing Bowling Green this weekend. Well, there's a couple of pretty good teams going to battle it out there. That should be some great hockey. And Anchorage is going to play at Bemidji State. You would think Bemidji State would be able to take Anchorage out a couple of times. But, again, Anchorage will be a really tough team. And you're trying to project here. And, you know, Lakers are probably going to fall from fourth down a spot or two. But then you'll get a chance. You'll be even in games. And then it's up to you what you can do when you go to Anchorage and you play Huntsville here. And then you go to Mankato. And that's the way this season's going to go. It's going to be tough every weekend.
Yeah, and I was talking with a couple before, too. That Anchorage trip will be different than Fairbanks. You know, we're going to travel up there. We're already down in Detroit, so that saves that front end of that trip. Obviously, you know, an exciting event with the Great Lakes Invitational, and kind of our home base will be Detroit once we shift out of here. So that trip will be easier this time around than the time of year, you know, finals looming and end of a semester and starting in the Sioux and busing down. So I think Anchorage will feel, you know, a lot different. We're on break there as well. So mentally, you're just in a much different position than you are as the semester ends and the pressure of finals looming. So, you know, I think we'll come through that healthy and then ready to get back home. I like too that first series back home. The students are back in. You know, we've seen that build our building a couple times on breaks and you know, people out of town for holidays, things like that. So the schedule does you know, set up well for us down the stretch run. There's, you know, there's great opponents, there's tough opponents, there's no easy games at this level, as you already mentioned there, and you have to be ready. But we've learned some big lessons, and we just got to keep moving forward with those lessons and realize every night's a challenge and an opportunity, and you know, to take advantage of them. And we've let one or two slip away, but for the most part, we've played every game and done a pretty good job.
Well, this team's been really good on the road too. 7-1 the road record, 2-5-1 the home record. Maybe we should wear the blue uniforms at home.
Right, maybe that's it. Get away from the creams and the golds and go to blues. I wish it was as easy as that. You know, again, I think part of it's the opponents. We had a top 10, top 12 Michigan team in. We had a number 3 Mankato team in as well. So, you know, obviously if we had the answers, we'd be sitting at 7-1 at home and 7-1 on the road and feeling, you know, really good about where we're at. So we need to be a little bit better. It's been our Saturday nights at home seem to be, you know, the challenge. And again, I don't think we played poorly against Mankato or poorly against Northern Michigan. They came in and did the job and got it done. Same same thing, Michigan. We had a little bit of a slow start there, but you know, we've got to find a way to get over the hump. And I think that's part of these lessons we're learning, that you know, every night matters. And just because you win Friday doesn't mean it's going to be easy, or they're, you know, taking a foot off. They're going to be twice as good, and we have to respond. And so I like that about Saturday at Fairbanks. They came out, you know, when you listen to their coach talk about post game, how they had to be harder to play against. And you know, we used that with their team. We knew they were going to be harder to play against and want to come out. And now I thought they lacked discipline, and you know, we were able to really take advantage of that. They had 2 10-minute misconducts, and we went 4 for 6. But you know, they wanted to be harder, and we just responded. You know, we were harder than them mentally, and then you know, so we've learned from those things, and we got to keep using those lessons.
Yeah, I've been really impressed by Ruggiero so far this season. He took a lot of penalties in that Bowling Green series, a big physical team. He's going to be like that against them. Sackleman took a number of penalties he wouldn't normally take too. But since then, I think Ruggiero has only maybe taken one penalty in a game. I think he only had one last weekend up in Alaska, and he's such a valuable player. He can skate the puck out. He makes some incredibly good passes. He's a really smart player, and physically he can play with anybody, and he seals off as well as anybody in the defensive zone.
Yeah, he's a guy, you know, we want available, and one of our best, if not our best, penalty killers. You know, really intelligent penalty killer. He's long and rangy, so he can anticipate pucks and pressure pucks. Yeah, so he can't be in the penalty box, and so we've, you know, spent a lot of time with him, showing them those clips, expressing how valuable he is to us in the penalty kill, and he's responded in a real positive way.
Yeah, and he's such a quiet, demure guy too. And when he gets in the penalty box, especially
very New York, and he got into this weekend. Like I said, there was, you know, they had a couple 10 minutes, and then they were running their mouths a little bit, even to our bench. And so Steven was a little bit fired up, and we appreciate the energy he brings, and for the most part, he harnesses that in a very positive way. So he brings energy, and you know, that's been really good for us.
Well, hopefully he'll bring energy when we play the under-18s on Sunday afternoon. We'll have that game for you. We will have a Laker hockey show next Tuesday, before the holiday, and we will have Laker hockey talk this Thursday morning and next Thursday morning. I don't see any reason we can't do that. But Zach did a good job last week filling in for you on the Laker hockey talk portion of the program. And then we'll take a break for a week or so, or 2 weeks even, and we'll come back again in the new year. And Damon, thanks for doing this again tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. You talked, you know, just to finish up, Steven going down, he's a national program. He came through that program.
Right.
So he understands, you know, the day-to-day for those guys and the magnitude of who's in that building. So I think he'll be valuable for us to prepare. We're looking forward to it. Thanks, Bill. Great job. Great to be home.
Steven Ruggiero, he has played in a Four Nations tournament, so he'll be down there looking around at everything. He's been part of that program before, the national team development program. Will be there on Sunday afternoon, and then the GLI coming up on the 30th and the 31st. Thanks to the fans for being here tonight. Thanks to Matt Pocket, Damon Witten, Bill Crawford, saying so long till next Tuesday night on the Laker Hockey Show.